Back again at the barbershop.
Yep, you know it.
I'm your host, Mark Gray. The gang is all here. This is a rare occurrence. The gang is back together, and the gang and A1. So we got TJ.
You know it. I'm here, man. Good to be back. I'm work. Once again, I'm starting my streak until I get fired. Then I get my paperwork, walk out the door, punch the security guard in the face, break the glass, slam my car door, and peel off.
The Dwayne Wade of the barbershop wants to be paid for what he's already done. And welcome back. DJ is in the building. DJ, welcome back, buddy.
Appreciate it, man. Fresh off the plane. Got me a Mountain Dew kickstart, courtesy of the house.
It's in the contract. He wrote it in. That is a prima donna. It's part of his deal. Mountain Dew kickstart, the first sponsor.
He wants a brush as well. He said he needs a lambskin.
500 strokes a day.
Yeah.
And then the producer, the glue, the reason we're not held together, A1 is in the building. How you doing today, sir?
Not bad, man. Glad to be here.
Still waiting on our data.com.
Data. Music. Some music would be nice in the intro, right?
Yeah, I mean,
anything.
Listen, man. We'll get it next week.
Have we figured out what he does?
Next week, we'll get it next week.
Does anybody know what he does?
He just pushes buttons.
We don't have any music, no intro, no facts.
Listen.
You weren't here before, Tej. Me and Slim are the only one who witnesses. He has his website that has no information. Like, if you ask him, like, he'll have a website. He'll be like, oh, Clay Thompson? Yeah. He's 6 foot. He'll be like, what's his, like, number? He'll be like, oh, that's not on here. How many points you average? He'll be like, yeah, that's not on here. It's like,
nah, but he was born in June.
Like, that's it. He just has
Do you know he was a Pisces?
Right. He just has random information and no sports facts whatsoever. It's like, you know, you can just click on the guy's name.
I know. Tells
you
all that stuff. Dude, all he does is read the front pages of, like, Yahoo, CNN. He doesn't click on any buttons. He just looks at what scrolls past. Did you know Rafael Nadal fell out today? Then they'll transition. And Lil Wayne tried to fight a referee. It's the damnedest thing.
All over everything.
Oh, yeah. Look, the car drives all over the road over here.
What's up with that, though?
I have no idea. Young Money, I guess when you're out of money, you got to do something. Young Money with no money. I'm fighting everybody. I had something on this game.
Yeah, obviously.
Kid's like 5 feet.
Yeah. Referee would have turned around and cleaned his clock. Been dentures everywhere. Yard sale.
Gold and diamonds all over the floor.
Pick up and sell. Buy now or leave.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So much stuff to talk about. Oddly, I feel like it's the big bang before the dead time of the sports year. But there's so much to talk about before we even get into the NBA Finals talk, which I'm happy that to have everybody here to break down this NBA Finals. Slim can talk about that. Before we get into the NBA Finals, a couple of other stories, and we'll just go around and touch on them before we get into that. Let's start with Dwayne Wade. Apparently, he wants to be paid more, and he still has his self-value. TJ, go ahead. Let you break down the Dwayne Wade situation. What is it that you're seeing?
We got to head out to L.A. We got to ring a doorbell somewhere in Hollywood, probably Santa Clara, Santa Barbara. We got to answer to one Kobe Bean Bryant for totally messing this up for everybody.
Yes.
This is the nonsense that you create where you go, you know what? Yeah, all those years, how about you do me a solid, Jeannie, Jerry? And they go, yeah, Kobe, we appreciate you. Thank you. You ran Shaq out of town. you ran Dwight out of town.
50 for two.
Here's 53 million. Right. We love you. If you're Dwayne Wade.
I want some of that.
Hello? I mean, this is Wade County.
Right.
You can't argue his effect on the Miami Heat
over
brand.
The past
like,
decade.
I'm just going to say, and then to argue the fact that he arguably one of the top 3-2 guards to ever play the game. If we sit down, I mean, he's up there. He's somewhere in that. We can toss and throw him wherever, which way, but I mean, the guy's got what, 3 rings?
So do you say give the man his money?
Oh no! See, I'm a businessman. See, this is Big Red Records. My office hours are from 9 to 5. Take it, what we offer, or you can leave. I mean, sports has gone to a new place. There's no more loyalty. People are going to teams. Guys are recruiting. Guys are coming to other places. The loyalty factor is out the window, man. Like, if I'm the Miami Heat, the conscious business decision that I'm making is Pat Riley is I'm waiting for Marc Gasol, Kevin Love, I need money to spend. And I can't be spending on a guy that's going to give me 52 games. That's just facts.
DJ?
Well, it's different for me. Well, one, Kobe has 5 rings.
Mm-hmm.
And Kobe got money coming off of a year where he was second leading scorer and probably could have been first if he would have played the last game. And
have you seen Dwayne Wade's socks? And, those socks are making money.
and with Dwayne Wade, he's coming off of a year where he didn't play a lot of games.
It's every year. It's not coming off a year. It's coming off a career.
How do we know that's not in his contract?
And they didn't make the playoffs.
That's a fact.
And so, and even if they did, looking at looking at what's happening with Kobe, they gave him the money. In the last few years, he hasn't been healthy. So, you know, maybe they're looking at that as a mistake now. So why would Miami go back and do the same mistake? And Wade already has been playing, you know, most of the games.
My question is, who are they bidding against? Like, where's your
bidding against anybody? What do you mean? I don't give him.
His agent's over there like, you don't even know. Shanghai is beating my door down right now.
And that's
right.
Who I think you're.
If you don't pull this trigger down.
Right.
I mean, the numbers that he's asking for from what I'm hearing is that it's not even like the Heat are saying,
watch your mouth.
We don't want you. Mm-hmm. He's saying, like, I want, you know, astronomical numbers. He wants the same thing like what Bosch got. And he's looking for, as a matter of fact, he wants the same thing Kobe got. Mm-hmm. If I'm the Heat, I'd love to have you. You are the brand, but again, who are we bidding against? I mean,
but can
is
we,
there a 3-year, $60 million on the table from another team?
But can we also factor in the fact that the television deal that the L.A. Lakers have out there with Fox One Sports and the deal that the Miami Heat have with the Miami Sun Channel, that's a totally
Sunshine
different
Network.
Deal. Sunshine
Miami
Network.
Don't even have fans like that.
The Kobe deal makes sense in terms of anybody who knows. How many times we see these TNT games without Kobe, and you're like, why are they, like, the Lakers have no draw without Kobe. None. Zero. And when Kobe's playing, no matter how bad the Lakers are, Kobe versus who, insert name here, is must-see TV.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter.
They have made a lot more money off Kobe than Kobe's made off them.
Absolutely.
I think, you know, that deal with the bus, with Genie Bus and the Sun, it's more strategical than the surface. What they're trying to do is lure and entice, you know, a Kevin Durant or someone to say, hey, look, you come here, you put in your service, you put in your work, we'll reward you.
We'll take care of you.
We'll take care of you then. And I think that, and when you're looking at that as a player, if you're a superstar and it's between Miami and LA, that's the caveat. That's my big joker to say, you know what? Yeah, I know. Miami wouldn't even give D-Wade $20 million, and he, you know, played on one leg for a whole year, sacrificed his dignity, his scoring, and everything. He did get championships, but he took a back seat in his prime or what have you. But and then they won't reward him. And the LA can.
When is he going to have two legs?
I see. That's my
he's
thing.
Keep,
is
he's keep playing on one leg.
My key question is, what does Dwayne Wade have to? When you start talking about,
hey,
one
go to
deals,
CNN Medicine.
When you start talking about three-year deals, as we see in other sports, and you can back this up, like the Pujols thing, you know, teams are intentionally walking Mike Trout to pitch to Pujols.
Yeah.
And Pujols is making more money than anybody in baseball. Yeah. So you ask
yourself.
Except
for one guy.
Okay. He's making a fortune. And he's going to be making a fortune for a while.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So you ask yourself, what Dwayne Wade is, to follow up on what you're saying, when is he going to have two legs? I don't know when he's going to have two legs, but I can certainly guarantee you 3 years from now, he won't be playing on two legs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you're crippling yourself, and you know, the Wade fans are saying he at least deserves what Chris Bosh is, and I disagree with that.
Nah.
I think in the next 3 years, Chris Bosh will play, I'm willing to bet, twice as many games as Dwayne Wade will play in the next 3 years.
I second your emotion, but as I said before, if you're Miami and you want to compete, I think, in this free, and don't get me wrong, not to say there won't be money to spend, and that once all the free agents, you know, have their choices, there will still be guys to pick from. But if you want to be major players in the market for, let's say, a Kevin Durant or something like that, that's something that's going to weigh on guys' minds, because, A, they're going to be opting out of some money. So, you know, if they leave their team, they're going to be opting out of, what, you know, 20, 30 million that they're going to leave on the table, whichever one of these premier free agents leaves the team that they're currently playing on to come play in Miami. And then, you know, the follow-up is to say, well, yeah, you do your time here. And we won't try to reward you for your sacrifice. We'll just replace you. And I think in L.A., they're showing like, hey, you come here, you sacrifice your money. Even when we know you're not what you should be, we'll take care of you.
Be taking care of that much. You shouldn't get $20 million
for 3 years. That's a lot.
In 3 years.
That's a lot of
time. I agree.
You
listen,
you're
not
for the last 3 years.
Yep, listen, If I'm Pat Riley and company, I tell D Wade, I totally appreciate you. Can I get a pair of socks and those cool Chinese shoes?
Yeah. And the coaching door is always open for you when you finish playing.
He's an effective player still. He's still going to average 21 points.
I'm thinking that he's 1 year away from. I think he has one more consistent level year left. And then I think from that point you enter the Paul Pierce is now, where you're hired gun. And like I think
he has two more years of 20 just because the league is so young. But he scores too
20,
easy.
I'm talking about how many games of 20.
Oh. Oh,
okay. You feel what I'm saying? Like
maybe 20 Paul games Pierce, or 20.
I think that
you're
what you
about that?
Yeah, I very much think of that. Okay. I couldn't agree with you more. Say. Now I do think that when you enter a playoffs, especially if you're going to be in the Eastern Conference, I'll take Dwayne Wade in a 7-game series in the Eastern Conference in the playoffs. The regular season, not so much. I don't need the guy who might play Tuesday, might not play for the next two Tuesdays. You know, whatever the case may be. But Paul Pierce showed that an old warrior can still have value in the playoff game. You know, John Wall and Beal might have been that team, but you saw when they needed buckets in that fourth quarter, they give it to the vet. And I think Dwayne Wade still has that.
But you gotta get to the playoffs.
And I don't think he's there anymore.
To the playoffs before LeBron got there. They missed it
out. Right. I don't think Dwayne Wade gets you to the playoffs right now. And I think that at $20 million a year, I need you to get me to the playoffs.
If they're gonna give him 10, I need Fred Hoiberg on that phone. If we'll give 11, they'll give 10, we'll give 11 in Chicago.
Perfect transition right into that.
He would have to play, I'm sorry, Coach Ball, he would have to play like at least 70-something games to get 20.
More, and three more years, Slim. Three more years.
Yeah, got to be in his contract. You got to play 70.
That would be nice, though. I mean, the Players Association would never go for that. But, I mean, at what point we start paying people per game? Like,
oh, it's coming.
Man, every time you play, we'll be happy to give you the money. You know what I mean? But, like,
enough guys keep walking.
It's unfair to some because some guys has been, you know, they played all their career and you can't help yourself
absolutely
get hurt, you know, one time. This guy's, you know, they know his
work. Listen, enough guys keep walking through that front. Enough guys keep walking through that bank door with that mask on, talking about put the money in the bag. Eventually, the NBA's going to go, okay, enough. Security.
Oh, wait, ask, on a new contract, can you do that, like, an incentive, like,
no,
you got to play 75-80% of the game. You can't do that.
In NFL contracts,
you can do a bonus based on that, but the players union would never go for that.
NFL, their game incentivized.
That'd be so against the player.
I mean, that'd be so smart,
right? It'd be so much how the rest of the world works.
Yeah.
But no, no players union would ever go for that. I mean, people would just be. That's worse than the NFL situation.
Yeah, you get guys out there with the flu, mono, and a torn ACL talking about, dude, I got to get to 82.
Yep.
Get me out here.
Just be out. And that's what it would be. Just guys out there, literally on one leg.
Like,
check me in, check me out.
Yeah. Sub me in right here. I'm not going to go for the jump ball. I promise you I won't contest the jump.
And if a guy's making $200,000 a game, how could you really blame him? You know what I mean? Like, are you injured? Nah, that's good. Yeah. My shoulder always looks like that.
Yeah.
You know, and so no, you couldn't do that. Transition right in. You guys got a new coach. Excited? Not excited?
Hallelujah!
You like that?
The best thing that happened to my Bulls, man. I said this last week when we were on the show about how antiquated in 1995 the Chicago Bulls offense was, and if you're not willing to be a coach that can adapt. I'm not a fan of you. I struggle with those coaches that run a system and that's the only system they run without being able to look at the NBA, look at the teams that are advancing. Look what's going on. They're spreading the floor. Yep. The ball movement is left to right. The pick and roll, the double single screen and the point guard just holds the ball to some. That day is gone. I mean, that day was great in the 90s. It was great in the late 90s. It's a new game of basketball. It's a more wide open, free basketball game because of what's going on in AAU basketball. Because most of these kids coming out, the league is largely younger than it's ever been. Mm-hmm. So now you have to adjust to that. You have to adjust to that trend. And for Tibbs to be such a good coach, it sucks that he's just such a stubborn coach that you won't say. Like, you can tell me that Tibbs, one of his good friends, is like Bill Belichick.
But you go
Bill Belichick and Greg Popovich. These are all guys that he runs in a circle with. And all those guys adjust. Yeah. I'm like, how can you watch those be your mentors and we all friends and all those guys adjust? And you go, you guys are stupid. Right. You guys are winning championships doing that. That is so dumb.
Sellouts.
Yeah. Like, come on. I mean, at what point in time do you, as a management, do you say, dude, We only have a small window with this lineup. This lineup can't, this is enough talent to win. You got to maximize. And I think when you watch Fred Hoiberg, who's Iowa State Cyclones teams I've watched because I'm a big NCAA fan, they shoot the ball well. They're efficient on offense. They're about middle of the pack on defense. And they're big when they have a skill big in Iowa State last year. I can't think of the big kid's name, but he could shoot it. He could dribble it. Reminds me of, like, I'm watching a Paul Gasol. Like, those are the things that I wish that Thibodeau would have taken advantage of, like getting Derrick Rose more spacing on the floor. Okay, so what, you don't believe in McDermott defensively? But how about help Derrick Rose put three shooters out there and one big in a Paul Gasol and give him some room to operate, drive and kick, instead of just saying, you don't believe in McDermott. I just think that philosophy is antiquated, outdated, and I think maybe a year out of basketball would help Thibodeau to see, like, you know.
I agree with you. It's just about how much are they going to respect Fred? How much can Fred tell Derrick Rose or Gasol?
To piggyback, not to cut you off, but what I have heard from several people, and it makes sense, is that basically what they were saying is people hated Thibodeau so much that no matter who comes after him, the players are going to love him. They're like, no matter what happens, the players are going to love. And that makes sense in terms, like, anybody who's ever worked for, like, a coach who just, or a boss who just rode you to death, whenever the next regime comes in, everything just seems better because it's like, yeah, at least, like, man, practice wasn't 3 hours a day after playing a game.
How about I flip this to you, DJ? I mean, I guess, get below the surface here. How much respect do players, NBA players, professional athletes, give to coaches who have played the game at that level? And they walk into the locker room as a coach. I mean, you as a player. So, in other words, when you had Lawrence Frank, you played under Lawrence Frank, correct?
No, I haven't played.
No, you haven't. Okay.
No. I mean, I only player coach. Now, I played under Lenny Wilkins.
Yeah, that's what.
And I played under Michael Cooper for a short stint. And Michael Cooper didn't get the respect that you would think as successful as a player as he was, opposed to when George Karl came in there and he got his respect because what he's done as a coach already, it was like instant respect.
Now, let me ask you this. Was because I was with you during that time and period in life when it wasn't because, and I know, you know, Coach Cooper was a dude that we could be out at the club and we run into him in the club. Like, was it because the line really wasn't drawn as player, you know, like, we used to say, you know, Coop was a cool dude.
Right.
Wasn't really, didn't come off as like, coach, he's cool. You know, was that dynamic, did that dynamic play into it?
No, I think it was mostly because he just hasn't really done anything as a coach. I mean, Coop, like you say, before he was an assistant, we'd see Coop out hanging with us. And when Coop got the coaching job, Coop went down the line, told everybody, look, you need to do this. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. You know, one time, you know, in a game, you know, Melo even kind of, you know, said something to Coop, and Coop ain't like it. After the game, Coop in the locker room was like, you know, don't you ever disrespect me like that. So he wasn't a pushover. It's just he hasn't done anything really as an NBA coach. So guys didn't really he just didn't really get a fair shot, and it just was a big difference from when Coach Karl came in there, because some guys just demand that respect.
Well, how about this? How about a good friend of yours, T. Lou, mm-hmm. who is now a player coach? I see a lot of players around the league, and I think the overall sentiment around the league towards T. Lou is mm-hmm. much respect.
Right. Much respect.
Well, that's he's because he's been around Doc for so long, right under Doc, and I think he's got his respect. I mean, he's been a champion, and just him learning under Doc Rivers is. And him just having relationships
that gives you stripes.
With guys. Yeah, it gives him some stripes. You know, Coop just, you know, he was in the WNBA. He came to Denver. I felt like they was bringing him to Denver to make him a head coach. And I just don't – he just didn't grab that respect. I mean, I know it's probably hard to coach a guy like Carmelo, but he just didn't get that respect. And they needed to bring in a guy like George. Now, with Tom – see, I don't know. I mean, I've heard stuff about.
You heard the horror story. I mean, you heard Rip Hamilton talk about having to go fully taped for shoot around, and he's a 13-year vet in the league.
But that's also stuff that they said about Pat Riley. Pat Riley, I've seen.
Same thing.
Pat Riley,
but no, they've guys, said they've said that though. I mean, and that's.
But that's
do
but,
guys do guys do was do guys not love Pat Riley?
They do, but how about this? Pat Riley's style in today's NBA wouldn't work. And you're a guy that I remember when you went to San Antonio, the first question I asked you was, what's it like in Popovich practices? And then you told me, you know, you're like, first of all, he'll no one is off limits to far as being, you know, reprimanded or being embarrassed on the court.
Right.
And we really don't do it. Right.
Don't do a whole lot. Them guys are going, one thing you're not going to have a problem is having your rest and getting your legs. I mean, I was upset because I wanted to earn minutes by practicing. You know, in Denver, we practiced. First team played against the second team, and we went at it. Guys wanted minutes. And then San Antonio, man, them guys wasn't out there. Tony and Tim and Ginobili, them guys was going there, shoot their shots, and go in the ice tub and go chill. We'll go play some 2-on-2. It wasn't a lot of, you know, 5-on-5. If you got minutes, it's just because Pop felt like playing you at that time.
All right. Better coaching job right now going forward. If you guys have an opening for the job, that Bulls job or the Pelicans job?
Not because I'm biased. I say the Chicago Bulls. I say the cupboard is stock.
I like the Pelicans roster. I like the Bulls conference.
I'll say I disagree. This is why
being in the East.
But this is why I disagree with you with the Pelicans roster, because on the Bulls bench, you've got 2 to 3 starters on him. Like, not, you know, Nico Mirotić. And if everything keeps going the way it's going, he will be sniffing around someone's all. You know, he'll be close to it. He'll be an 18, 17, 16-point guy. Taj Gibson, we already know what he can do. Yeah, I mean, I don't see that on the Pelicans bench anywhere.
No, but what I do see on the Pelicans is obviously.
Oh, I mean, come on.
And I like building around that again. But what I don't like about the Pelicans, you're in the Western Conference. Like, I just.
Pelicans in the West.
As long as you're in the West, I mean, they could land 3 more All-Stars, and that doesn't guarantee you anything in the West. It just doesn't.
I think what Hoiberg is going to bring in, and what I hope to see, is I want to see what the Chicago Bulls offense could look like without running the antiquated, plodding style of basketball. And I want to see Derrick Rose in the open floor. I want to see, you know, Dunleavy in the open floor. I want to see McDermott. I want to see Taj Gibson run. I mean, they got a lot of guys that are not just robots. I mean, Paul Gasol is probably, of the dudes, he's probably the least athletic of guys that they have. And I like to see those guys in motion instead of standing around Joakim Noah trying to feed the post. All he does is stand at the hop. I mean, that's how easy is that to defend?
Bulls got a ready now, a win now team, and you can't screw that up.
Right. I think that window
it's closing.
It's very much closing.
You got to win now.
And I think the only thing that's keeping that window open is that you're in the Eastern Conference. So the window is pretty much always open. If you're in the Eastern Conference, I mean, like, it doesn't take much to be in you can be 6-7 games under 500 in the playoffs.
That's true.
So, I mean, I'm not judging them about that. So, I mean, that standpoint, the Pelicans, no matter what they do, you know, you're still going to have to face 7 teams that are.
And you're still the Pelicans. Like, I don't ever think I'm going to open my mouth and go, yeah, can you believe the Pelicans are in the finals versus the Lakers? It just don't sound right.
Right. But then you say to yourself, if I'm the Bulls, we're one good LeBron hamstring or twain ankle away from being in the NBA finals. That's all you are, really.
Chances of that.
You know what?
I mean, soon he's got to twist ankle one of these days.
Love goes down, Kyrie gets hurt, and you still don't make it.
No,
so much
I'm not insinuating anything, but I don't think that guy will be getting hurt anytime soon.
Definitely not. Yeah. See, and that's why I agree with you, Slim, because if I'm a Bulls fan, how much more can you ask for from the gods this year than this year? This year, and then it didn't happen.
Right.
But, MG, how can you win if your team offensively is 28, 26, 25?
True.
I don't care what you have.
That's true.
Like,
but now, do you go, okay, do your offense get better? Is your defense going to stay the same?
Well, no. Okay, so here's what the trade-off. If your defense falls to middle of the pack, but your offense rises to top 3 in the league in efficiency, I think that's a trade well worth it.
Maybe.
I think so. I mean, and then who's, in my opinion, is, you know, Tibbs very, honorary coach, and he liked his guys, but do we really need Joakim Noah, Paul Gasol, and Taj Gibson?
I got 5 NFL stories I want to touch on.
Let's go.
I don't want to spend any more than 10 minutes total on
it's them.
So we'll go around.
Pulse, I hate
we'll go rapid fire around the table here and get these. Slim, we had this great. I'm going to tie these two in together, and I'm going to put this name in here. And we had this debate last night, and I think it's a great topic. I'm going to give you 3 players. I want you to tell me who plays who plays the next, who plays first, and who's likely to play more NFL downs? Ray Rice, Tim Tebow, Michael Sanders. Who have the best chance to see on a football field again, and who you think will play more NFL snaps again? Go ahead, go ahead. Whoever wants to go first.
I think Ray Rice plays more snaps than any other two.
Okay, and then next.
Next, it's tough. I mean, it's gonna be hard for either of the other two to play. I want to say Tebow because Tebow's actually been signed, but he's been signed to a team who already has like four quarterbacks. So unless he accepts a role or something other than a quarterback, then, you know, maybe, you know, Michael Sam, you know, if he doesn't give up, works his way in there.
So you're going Ray Rice, Tebow, Sam's. You're not confident.
I'm not confident in Tebow or Sam. I say if it's quarterback, if it's Tebow just stuck on playing quarterback, I go Sam. Tebow's going to play another position, then I'll go Tebow.
Okay. Ray Rice doesn't get in the NFL. He's not.
I feel like he's the one on that list who has the most to offer. Yeah. Like,
I mean, he has the most offer, and when he did offer, he was offering 3 yards a carry.
That's fine. He might not have been a Pro Bowler, but he's still an NFL running back.
That last year. He's had a lot of rest.
And so is a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
They're bunches. And I could take a bunch of guys that don't have domestic violence, right hand cross.
Again, and I'll
finishing move.
That we know of on video
in my backfield. So
see, that's the thing, on video.
So I don't really need you. So here's what I don't want. I don't want to sign Ray Rice, and I don't want to go to Cincinnati or whatever the way game is, and I don't want to see a blown up picture with a sign and in the stands, and I just don't want Fox turning to that. I don't need it. We don't need it as an organization. We just don't need it. Tim Tebow, until they take his foot off of his hand, I don't think he'll make it either, okay? It's hard to throw a football with your left foot. I don't know if you guys ever tried it. It's pretty difficult. They're complaining about accuracy. How accurate do you want the guy to be? He's palming the thing with his big toe. I mean, what do you want him to do?
So then who's your order?
None.
You don't see none of them?
Yeah, I see them all. What is that league that the league that the guy from Dallas is trying to start up? What's his name?
Cuban?
Mark Cuban. The XFCF, Extreme F Football League. It's like a farm system. I see them there. I mean, there's no room for it. There's no room for it, like, that.
My man says no room for gays in the NFL.
No.
Or Christians.
No.
My man doesn't like gays,
there's
Christians.
There's just no room for a player that can't play. There's no room for a player that can't play, and there's no room for the distractions that you're going to get that accompany the other two players. And it sucks to say that, but when you got NFL locker rooms, it's bad enough. You know, you get coaches that don't want to go on Hard Knocks and don't want to give fans an inside look into what goes on in locker rooms and things like that, and I get it. But then you bring in another outside exterior pressure of, what's he doing? What's he doing? How about I come to you every day and no matter, you threw 3 interceptions, MG, we lost the game, and I want to ask you, how was it sitting next to Michael Sam in the locker room, and do you feel comfortable? Has he ever said anything to you about how he feels internally? Does Michael Sam, when you guys go on the road, it's going to be the same thing with Ray Rice. It's going to be, you know, how's Ray Rice handling the pressure? Ask Ray. Do you think Ray Rice really wants me to ask him how he's handling the pressure? Like, what is the payoff?
A1?
I say Tebow because he's in the league.
Oh, God.
Number one. That's the only reason.
But I'm at the pick.
No, he's not in the league.
Like, yeah, he's not.
He's Tebow signed, though.
No.
I mean,
he's on one of those contracts that say, by 1 in a million chance.
Being the fourth quarterback on a team that carries 3 quarterbacks.
Yeah, but my thing is I don't see Ray Rice getting back in the league again, and I don't see Michael Sam's getting in the league.
You don't think here's my thing, I'll say I think Ray Rice is a better running back than Tebow is quarterback or Sam's is pass rusher. When we talked about it last night's Slam, I told you I feel like Mike Sam's is a better pass rusher than Tim Tebow is quarterback. Now, Tim Tebow is the only person who is on a roster right now. That being said, I think he is the least talented at his position out of those three. Ray Rice, from a side, you never want to downplay what happened, has always been thought of as the consummate professional.
Everything we'd ever heard about Ray Rice before that was that he was a professional guy.
And a declining running back.
And a declining running back, true.
I mean, I still can see somebody giving Ray
Rice a chance. He's better than running backs that we're going to see carry the football this season.
Williams just quit football just to go smoke weed and got another chance.
Let me tell you something. Listen, going to smoke cannabis.
And hitting your wife.
And hitting your spouse. Hitting
her. Finishing her.
Domestic violence with that kind of technique. Mm-hmm. In that elevator. On video. It's going to put you. You can't be in a dude.
He's paid his price for that.
I agree.
She forgave him.
Yeah, I mean,
they got married.
I'm happy for them. They've grown from that tragic situation.
Yeah.
But what isn't going to happen is that I don't think any organization and GM, because as soon as that story comes into your locker room, that immediately erases everything. I mean, you don't even want to know what if Ray Rice came to the Chicago Bears, and this is so hypothetical. I'm knocking on wood.
So you guys can't afford to.
Listen though, I'm just saying, without Ray McDonald's situation, if Ray Rice came without Ray McDonald, training camp would have nothing to do with Kevin White, how Jay Cutler and Kevin White are getting along. Like everything, all that gets washed under the wave, dude. And I don't think GMs want to sign up for that.
So what about with Greg Hardy?
I mean,
he's in his prime.
But the thing with Greg Hardy is, he's still in his prime, but we don't.
There's no video. Then that video is huge.
That's what my premise is. That video is what is putting Ray Rice in this position. Not the actual act.
Right.
It's the video. And if they had a video of what they were describing Greg Hardy, A, not only would he not be on the football field, he would be in what we like to call the penitentiary. And he would be cell block number C7006.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. With that video, that just sets Ray Rice. I mean, dude, you're not only taking on, and see, that's the thing. You're taking on three parts. You're taking on a declining running back.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking on the domestic violence issue, period, just to know that there was a domestic violence and a charge and all that. And then you're taking on the video.
I just feel like everybody else got a chance.
We
haven't seen
DJ,
the video.
That's huge.
Guys got a chance.
That's 9/10 of it.
I agree.
Ray Roethlisberger, you know.
If there was a video for that.
Rapes a girl.
If there was
shoots himself.
If there was a video for
dogs,
any.
Listen, everybody got a chance.
If there was visually seeing it, the visual aesthetics of seeing that adds to the disgust of the heinous act. And which is, it is a heinous act, and I'm totally against it.
Vic did 2 years in jail.
And still play, right?
I agree with both of you. And that being said, I think the video is huge and almost, I think it's a nail in a coffin. But I do think that sooner or later, when you start hearing names like, your choices are, you know, who's on the sheet? We got Ray Rice, got Brandon Jacobs, Peyton Hillis. And, you know, you start looking at just like, Lamont Jordan called.
You asked one question about Peyton Hillis. Did he visit Mexico City? Sign him up. Because that's where you can go to that La Farmacia. and you can acquire that juice.
Can we take Brandon Jacobs' name out of that, a two-time Super Bowl?
I'm talking about the names on the running back list that come out in the middle of the season. And it's just, when
Brandon
you're a coach.
Jacobs is retired on his own.
He would gladly play if they call. Those are the names.
No, he retired on his own.
When
he
these running backs' names start coming out, and you're like, ooh. Okay,
don't I
like
my man. Interested. Yo.
You're not going to take Ray Rice. I'll
take him before those
names.
You
take Dave Meggett's son from Maryland. Whatever. What's his name?
I think his name is Dave Meggett.
Yeah, you take him. There you go.
AP, while we're on the running back topics, real quick, anything to say there?
Yeah, watch the hell out.
I mean, now
you've only angered. Now you've only angered this man.
I found it kind of ironic. I can fully understand from his standpoint how he felt like the team didn't support him. And holding a grudge about that.
What?
I think from a PR standpoint, though.
What are they to do?
You can't really, in this society, you can't be telling people that everyday working person, like, I refuse to play for $10 million after, you know what I mean? Like, most people are going to be like, dude, you should be happy that you have a job still. You know what I mean? You already sat out last year. You're beating your kid to his testicles are bleeding. And there's not to go to you. It's not a video. There's a picture of his son's testicles bleeding. You know what I mean? And I think that
testicles. I didn't see that. I just seen those.
He caught him with the swish and the tip.
Yeah. No. He cut the boys.
It cut him. It cut him on his
bleeding.
Stuff.
And I would.
This is
I'm
you know. This isn't a biography show, so we don't have to keep saying that word. Thanks.
Okay. If I'm advising AP from a PR perspective, I think that's a few father under, like, let's just not be, you know, let's be quiet. Let's just shut the hell up, show up for work, and not talk about it. No, we don't have any demands.
Yeah.
You know, you might want to say something. You might make it. You go upstairs and you tell them people, hey, I don't really appreciate the way you did this, X, Y, and Z. And everybody in the facility might know you don't talk to upper management. But I think from a PR standpoint, you're not trying to have your name in the headlines about anything. Mm-hmm. And if you have an opportunity to collect $10 million
but what
without
about,
a sound, why, that's what more are you looking for?
But what about the flip side of this when we often say it's not, you know, the organization's right to get involved with how he deals with his kid.
I agree with that.
So then in the flip side, then you can't say, well, why didn't you step in and support me? It's like, dude, you can't have it both ways.
I agree that it's not, but I'm talking about from a PR standpoint. I can't see how you win the battle, how this is a good look for him. And then when he came out and said all the stuff, everything he said in that tweet was 1,000% true. I'm not sure if you saw that. You're here. I'm talking about DJ. But he just basically said that everything he said is true, but it's not new about, you know, teams never honor contract. Everybody knows that those contracts are 100% one. And he says, oh, you know, this person, they sign a contract and team let it go. Everybody knows that. That is 100% true. And that's not even really up for debate.
But how about this? That's almost real world, though. I think, like, I've worked in sales before, and yeah, I may have signed on for a certain amount of money and to be here. And guess what? When I ain't hitting my number,
right?
There ain't no second check. There ain't no, you know, you owe me for that first 2 weeks I worked. There's get out the door and thank you for your time.
Right.
That's real world. That's called business. That's how, and I would challenge, and I tweeted this. I would ask AP if he owned a business, how would he run it? Would he allow his employees to run the business, or would he run it? Would he allow his employees to say, hey, look, I don't care if you come to work every day or not. And I don't care if you work here for 10 years or not. I'm going to pay you for 10 years because you told me you'd work for 10 years. And how long would you be in business under those premises?
Yeah.
Fact. That is 100% true.
Matter like that, yeah. I mean, because saying that, I kind of, you know, felt what AP was saying. But, you know what I mean, the way you just put it, yeah, it makes sense.
No, I say that all the time when people say stuff to me at my normal job, and they say, I can't believe that, you know, da-da-da, X, Y, and Z, whatever your policy may be. For example, they say, why do we need a credit card to start a tab? Now, if you owned a bar, would you let people just on the honor system, hey, man, let me get a beer. I'll be back. Yeah. Trust me, I'll pay for it.
Yeah.
Look at me. And you'd be like, so when you're the customer, you say, I can't believe I need to leave a credit card. Okay, now, if you own the business, how long would you like to be in business with the buddy system where it's just, hey, you know, hey, my name's Damar. I'll be drinking. I'll be over there. Trust me, at the end of the night, I'm going to pay my bill.
He's over there like this. I'm tall.
You know what I mean?
Like, I'm tall. I'll be back.
Trust me. That's not how things work. Right. You know what I mean? So I fully agree with that. Chip Kelly had to come out and address to me, which was silly, this stuff about race. And here's my thing about this. When LeSean McCoy comes out and says he's racist, I don't know either one of them. So would I be surprised if Chip Kelly was racist? Not at all. And if somebody said, I know the guy, I work with him, he's racist, and I would say, fine, I take you at your word, and that's fine. Now, what I can tell you is he's not saying, I don't want this running back because he's black. I don't think that he makes his football decisions based on race, especially when you say that he let go of a black running back and replaced him with a black running back. He let go of a black receiver, replaced him with a black receiver. Are there racist coaches? I don't doubt that for a second. I don't think you would go very far in the football world if you decided that you were trying to build an all-white football team and you didn't want black people, especially at a talented position.
Right.
I'm going to say that where there is smoke, there is some sort of fire. So there is LeSean McCoy's story, there is Chip Kelly's story, and then there's the truth. And when you look at production, so maybe there's not a certain color of person that Chip Kelly prefers, but maybe there's a certain type of personality
that
Chip
Kelly.
So is it racism? No, but is there maybe a level of discrimination? Yeah. So maybe there's the guy that Chip Kelly doesn't want that's, you know, the alpha guy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he doesn't want, you know, and is that discriminatory in nature? Kinda. But he's allowed to do that because he's the coach. So what is he looking at? He's got a mouthy running back who's cocky, who's brash, who's good. Mm-hmm. I don't really like it. Mm-hmm. I'll bring in DeMarco Murray. Do you listen to DeMarco Murray's press conferences? It's just happy to be, thank God. My offensive line block well.
So maybe he doesn't want the
my
ERs.
My name isn't spray tan.
So maybe he doesn't want the ERs or the A's.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, but that's what I gained from it. And everybody that complained and everybody that was a little brash, Chip Kelly said, your iPad Air, can I see that? And your key to the facilities.
Yep.
I think that it's a discriminatory tactic towards a certain type of attitude or person that Chip Kelly doesn't like. And you could be black, you could be white.
Right.
He just doesn't want that. He wants guys that are not going to go. What did Kerry Williams say in the playoff game? Oh man, I'm tired. I mean, if I could just rest my legs, this wouldn't happen. Chip Kelly's like, oh really? Okay. I get you. I got what kind of guy you are.
The quarterback.
Yeah. Remember Kerry Williams said that? He ensued that they practiced too hard all week. And all the guys who said that about Chip Kelly are no longer with Chip Kelly.
I don't really have a problem with that. I mean, if the thing is, going back to the last topic, if you have a store and they give you the keys of the store and say it's just your store, you can run the store
the
way
that does, you can discriminate on personalities.
That doesn't mean that everybody has to like it.
Yeah.
I mean, so whether I agree with it or disagree with it, I do agree that he has the right to run his store and hire whoever he feels like hiring.
Right. I don't think he's racist. I mean, I think it would be pretty hard to be racist when you're dealing with so many, you know, people that aren't white. If you're white,
right.
But what I do think is, I mean, first of all, he got to get results the way he's doing things. He's made some moves that will make you scratch your head like, whoa. He got rid of these players. But I also think what TJ said is he don't want them cocky, it's about me guys on his team. I feel like he wants guys who's more about the team, going to do things the way that he want.
Which he has a right to do.
Which he has a right to do.
But how long does that last? And
that's a whole different ball.
Marshall Faulk had a point in on NFL Network, and they were saying, dude, all this sounds good. All this sounds great. You want the right guys. You want the yes guys. Mm-hmm. But at some point in time, you got to have ballers. You got to have playmakers. And 99.5% of your playmakers have some kind of cockiness, some kind of brashness, some kind of I is me is it.
But then when you look at you know, the Belichicks and the Popovich, when they build their teams, you know, they got a whole
bunch Tom Brady is the eye. He dots the eye. He dots that eye.
But Tom Brady,
the tight end too.
Come on, Gronk.
I mean, Gronk.
Gronk's a little wild, but is Gronk out there, you know, complaining, acting like it's all about him?
No.
Is Brady? No. And you know, and Brady wasn't a high pick coming in there like he was the man. Brady had to earn, you know, everything.
But now, don't get it wrong.
From being there,
Darrell Revis, I work for me. I love me some me. Like, I mean, what I'm saying is that Belichick found a balance. Like, all right, I'm going to have Randy Moss, as much as this is going to chap my biscuits to sign you, I kind of need you. Like, you know, Darrell Revis, as much as I know you only care about you and you really could give a crap if you were playing cornerback for the New England Patriots or the San Jose Sand Sharks.
As long as that check is there,
I need you. Mm-hmm. You got to balance it. And I think what people are looking at that are complaining about the Chip Kellys, they're like, dude, you're just bringing in all dudes that are just going to just, yes, yes. And then at one point in time, I was like, wait a minute. So you mean to tell me you were trying to trade for what's the guy from Oregon, the offensive, when he was trying to trade with the Tennessee Titans, trying to bring in another Oregon guy?
Mariota?
Before Mariota, it was another Oregon guy that the trade got nixed because somebody failed a physical.
Okay.
And he was trying to bring in another Oregon. It's like, dude, like at a certain point in time, it's like, okay, I get what you're doing. You know.
If guys feel like they're bigger than the team, man, I don't think, you know, a lot of guys just not willing to put up with them.
But how many guys now would sign up, like, when you go into free agency, and what if you want to get, like, a, you know, Lamar Houston, or not a Lamar Houston, Justin Houston from Kansas City, or maybe you need, you know, one of those elite players. Could that backfire on you?
When you got a system that you run, and you feel like you just fail guys in that system. Like, do you need McCoy? Okay, Sproles got in and did, you know, did his thing.
That's what he thinks, and we're going to find out.
We're going to find out.
We're going to find out. That's the good thing about it, is we're going to find out. Had an email from one of our listeners. He actually had two questions. The first one we already touched on was the Wayne Wade issue, and the second one was, since ex-NFL Falcons player Prince, his last
Shimbo.
Name, Shimbo, might be charged with felony for killing a dog. Is it over for him since he's not a household name like Ray Lewis, Michael Vick, etc., or will another team pick him up?
I would honestly tell you that right now, Prince Shimbo, hurt me because he's from the University of Notre Dame. I rooted for him heavy at Notre Dame. And
His name was involved with something there, too.
Yeah, before that, he was involved with a young lady that committed suicide. Yeah, and she said that...
She
She committed suicide. That was the end result. But she had claimed rape against Prince Shembo, and he was exonerated, and she eventually ended up killing herself. And, you know, now you go to full circle to this, and this is the NFL we're in now because of the Ray McDonald situations and things like that, is that... Okay, you were charged, but you beat that. But that's kind of on your wagon, bro. And I think that with that act,
the Ray Rice, Mike Vick, all into one. He's abusing animals, punching like domestic dispute with an animal, and killed it.
Yeah, I think that Prince Shembo is done in the NFL, and that stinks because he was just getting started and had like a bright career starting at middle linebacker for the Falcons, but. If you're an NFL player right now and you don't understand the heightened sensitivity of the league and what's going on, you're an absolute fool. And if you're willing to kick a dog and kill a dog and think that nothing will happen, then you don't belong in the NFL anyway because you're not a professional. And I know it's a dog, and I get those people that say it's a dog, and I come from the country, and I'll tell you stories. My grandmother would shoot a dog if it's on her porch right now to this day, okay? That's just, and if people have a problem with that, then go to the terms that you use when you come from work and you say, man, they worked me like a dog today.
Right.
What do you think that came from? But back to the Prince Shembo, it's the heightened level of sensitivity in America, period.
Wrong era.
It is, man. It's crazy now. You just can't do anything. It's like the kid from here, Cunningham, who's going to get a contract, who girl ended up saying he beat her.
He did.
And he don't get a contract. He's out of league, and then it comes to find out that he really didn't do it. It was evidence, and, you know, he cost him a lot of money. The kid at LSU was supposed to be a first-round pick. Girlfriend dies, so the NFL say we're not going to draft him. So he missed out on millions of dollars.
He'll never get that money back. That's money you'll never get back.
Money you'll never get back, and just because he was involved with a girl who passed away, they just assume, and the police said he wasn't a suspect. Never was a suspect, and he don't get drafted just because.
But see,
DJ, involved with somebody that might that done something or something happened to them.
What's happened is that it's sad to say, but so many dudes have paved a way of the second chance being burned. That even if you're found innocent of your first transgression, you still are guilty.
Man, we don't know that.
I'm not saying that is correct. I'm saying that the people from the past, the Ray McDonald's, the Aaron Hernandez's, all those stories have paved a road now where you are not allowed the benefit of the doubt, and that sucks. But that's where we are. That's what these Google machines have created. That
it's because everybody has a voice, and the fact that and not only that is that the 2% voice can be louder than the 98%.
Exactly. I mean,
while if only a handful of people have a problem with it, those handful of people might be so loud about it and force such a distraction. You know what I mean? That
the power that people have to ruin a person's career, to say, even with the Johnny Manziel, a guy can harass me for 2 hours. And get in my face and bump and harass, and I throw a water bottle at him, and you guys are ready to, you know, lock me up.
Yeah.
How insane is
and
that?
I'm on SportsCenter. You harassed me for 2.5 hours asking for an interview.
It's unfair. I mean, that guy, we don't know what happened with the little dog. We don't know his intentions.
What I'm saying is, dude, is that as a professional athlete, if you are not aware, and we hear it all the time, dude, your parents tell you this, life ain't fair. This profession you're in ain't fair.
You're a human, man. You're a human.
That's fine. You can find a lot of other things to do if you're not willing. If you're not willing to be on a heightened alert, there are a ton of other things you can do besides play football, brother.
Yeah, still not that easy, though. I mean, that man maybe kicked that dog, you know, maybe just to get him off him or accident. I'm sure he's not thinking, let me kill this dog. You think he's thinking about, okay, I kick this dog, my career's done?
No, and I don't think it should be done. But I mean, but TJ's right. That's the society we live in where, I mean, kicking the dog can hit your
kicking
career.
The dog will, like, kicking I mean, the dog will I mean, get, yeah. Listen, kicking the dog will get you put out the league and killing the dog, but beating your kids to blood.
I mean, no more than back. I think that when Adrian Peterson watched his kid knock him.
I think that's, I mean, I was a kid who had to go get my own Switch to get
you,
hit
you,
with.
You're mean, probably sitting at a table full of guys who had to do that.
To me. That's nothing. I mean,
that probably kept me from jumping in a Honda Tercel.
Who didn't get beat out there shooting up schools.
Yep.
Right? We're all on the same page there. Last football story, real quick so we can get into this NBA. Cam Newton signed his big deal. That's cool. Not much of a story there. Real quick, go around the table. Cam Newton's ceiling. Have we seen the best Cam Newton? Is Cam Newton's best football ahead of him? Will he ever reach that? He has all the talent. Will he reach that upper elite status? DJ?
I like Cam. I think he's talented. I think, I don't know. I don't think we've seen his ceiling yet.
No. I totally agree with DJ. I mean, it's hard to see a guy ceiling when he's throwing a Brandon LaFell and I don't care, name the list of receivers that he's had to throw to in his career.
You're not saying Brandon LaFell.
I know he went. I did that on purpose because he went to LSU, just a little barber DJ. But I mean, you see the first year that he gets something of that's resembled young talent at receiver in a Benjamin, and he played a year with broken ribs, a torn up ankle.
I like him too,
and he played well.
I like Benjamin.
Yeah, I like Benjamin. I like Olsen, and now he's got another receiver to go with that. You give him weapons. Give him an opportunity. I mean, I think his ceiling's high, dude. You're not going to find a person, a quarterback that looks like him with his intangibles. It just, that don't exist yet. Mm-hmm. They haven't built it.
A1?
Yeah, I agree with these two. I think he has all the talent in the world, and it's just about building the team around him. And the thing about him is you never know from year to year what you're going to get, you know? Like, could win 12 games one season, 5 the next, you know? But, I mean, I agree with them. I don't think we've seen his ceiling yet, though.
I just don't know where he's at mentally.
I think he's
that's
there.
Another thing. I think he has still a little bit more maturing.
I think he had a lot to do, and he might have a little bit more to do. But I feel like he's if you watch a Cam Newton rookie press conference versus today, I see big growth. Even from the attire, he's got the look, and coming off a lot of losses, his head isn't down. Ted is up. Like he.
It's not. I gotta play better. It's he's handling the questions with a lot more maturity and saying.
Yeah,
I
see a mature Cam Newton in his last year in his interviews and a leader and that whole. He's handled some pretty adverse situations, you know, and nothing too major, but it hasn't been all easy pickings going for him. And I think that brighter days are ahead of him. And I think with the Bradys and the Mannings. And Breeze going down on the second.
Yeah, about
half
to say Breeze
career.
is on the backside of the mountain.
Yeah, I think that Cam Newton is. I like him just as much as that second batch with Rivers, Flacco.
I take Michigan.
Aaron Rodgers.
Matt. No, he's not with Aaron Rodgers. Matt Ryan.
Respectful.
I like him. I like him just as much as I like any of those.
Don't
any
come
of those,
to church with that
and those other guys. And now let's get into the last hurrah.
Aaron Rodgers.
This man just tried to throw. He's an Aaron Rodgers.
I don't even know why he did that.
He tried to sandwich that name in between.
We should just end the show now and just catch up next week.
But he's just trying to see how you sandwich the name in between. He's like Philip Rivers, Matt Ryan. Philip Rivers, Matt Ryan. He's like Aaron Rodgers.
No, because I was wondering if you were going to say his name. You said you liked him as much as the next batch coming up.
That ain't the next batch. Because
he's not coming
Aaron
up. Aaron Rodgers is
the
already,
top,
yeah,
the top of all the batches.
He's not the batch, and he's not coming up, buddy.
He's got his own little bucket.
Yeah.
He's got his own little bucket.
He's not coming up, but he's already up there. He's right there with those boys. Yeah. That's a bad man right there. That is a bad dude. NBA Finals, just like almost, if you were being realistic going into this, these were pretty much the teams that you would have expected. To have been there, and we got what we wanted to see, and I feel like we got the youngest star and the biggest star in the NBA at the going head to head, and here we are. I don't really think you could have asked for a better matchup. I don't think you could have asked for a worse conference finals in both conferences, and then you sprinkle that in with a week off. I don't think that did them any favors for marketing purposes. You know, the first rounds were so action packed. Second round, conference finals, borderline terrible. And then you add, after a borderline watered down conference finals, 10 days off. You know, so it's good to finally get this back here. What say you, DJ? Let's start over here with DJ. What is the biggest story for you here? What is it, when you tune in tomorrow, what is it that you are saying, I want to see this, I expect to learn that?
I just really just want to, see a good finals. I've liked Golden State for a few years now, and I'm kind of rooting for Golden State, but I just want to really just see, you know, guys just play their best basketball.
Do you see, is there anything that you say I would like to see? I want to see Draymond Green go against LeBron. I want to see Kyrie Irving go against, you know, is there anything that you're looking to learn from this?
What I do want to see is a healthy Kyrie.
I do too.
So, you know, it could be more competitive. So it's not so easy. Well, I don't think it would be easy for Steph anyway. But it might be worse for Steph with, you know, Dellavedova out there, you know, trying to take his legs out. but I do want to see.
This is a hidden silver lining in this matchup. Right.
I do take his legs. I do want to see what's going to be important to me. If I've been saying this, is how J.R. Smith shoots the ball. That's going to really determine a lot for Cleveland.
He's an X factor, no doubt about it. He could easily, as we said before, if they play six games, he's going to have two games where he's on fire.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to have two games where he's as cold as you could pop, as a polar bear's toenails. You know, now here's the thing is, I think the thing that's being most swept under or most overlooked, thank you, is Kyrie Irving. A healthy Kyrie Irving is as good as anybody in basketball.
Yeah, well, I just heard that he tweaked his knee a couple days ago, or a day ago.
Oh, man.
And they've been holding him out in practice. Did you hear that?
Before we started the show, I heard them say something. I didn't hear what they said. I know they said that he was not feeling as good as he was before. I didn't hear what the details were.
What you know was weird is I think if I'm Steph Curry, I'd rather have Kyrie play.
I would, too, because I know what Dellavedova was looking at on tape. He's looking at where my feet are
even,
landing. Like,
even a healthy Kyrie isn't going to be as physical with Steph.
Or just try to put his foot under my land leg or anything like that.
Yeah, but he could also, a healthy Kyrie can embarrass you.
He can.
He is a wizard with that ball.
He can, but Golden State is a pretty good defensive team. So I don't think he's so much worried about that.
For me, that's where I go, what if, because Golden State, people don't really realize how good of a defensive team they are.
Right.
If Kyrie's not good, and they have to play any sort of Dellavedova, it is going to really, really be some ratchet basketball out there. People are really underestimating how good Golden State is defensively. And that's what's being really overlooked. If anything, is like, dude, that's like the number one team defensively in the league in defensive efficiency. So you're telling me you got no Kyrie Irving, you've got no Kevin Love, or you got a 50% Kyrie Irving, you got no Kevin Love, you've got a offensively hampered or offensively regressed Tristan Thompson, who is just a hustle box, and you got Timothy Mozgov. So basically, you're telling me we're down to J.R. Smith and LeBron.
But what that is, with Kyrie out there, it takes away from how much better LeBron makes everybody.
It does.
When the ball in LeBron's hand, all Dellavedova got to do is spot up and shoot. All everybody else got to do is really spot up and shoot when LeBron finding them guys. When Kyrie's out there, Kyrie's not making you better. Kyrie's creating stuff for himself.
But what you did see from Kyrie Irving, I think I'll give him some props. I'm really one of his hardest critics, is that in the last series, hampered, he made a lot of spot up jumpers. He did. When he was gimpy on that knee, he made a lot of catch and shoot threes.
He can shoot though.
Yeah. So that's an added element.
He won the 3-point contest.
Oh no, he has won.
Yeah.
So but what I think that hurts is, like I said, when we start matching up player for player, so if we come out with, say, probably game one, the matchup is going to be JR on Tristan. JR on Clay.
Right. I like Clay.
But the flip side, what no one's really thinking about, is how good of a defender Clay Thompson is.
Yeah.
And how difficult he's going to make that matchup on JR.
But the thing with JR is,
he makes stupid shots anyway.
Yeah, so he's good at defending guys. You know, good guys, but you know what they're going to do. With J.R., you don't know what J.R.
is
going to do.
He's
going to shoot
point.
Any kind of wild shot. So even on good defense, J.R. makes shots on good defense.
So, and then we go to, I'm watching Steph Curry on Officer Shumpert. I think it could be a good matchup, but it's going to be a different matchup because you're not just chasing the guy over screens. Mm-hmm. You're chasing, and if Kyle Korver could even bounce the ball three times, he would have had shots to make, but he just can't. So now you got a guy in Curry who you're going to fight over a screen. He's going to show ball, and then he can put you in a move and then still get his shot off. That's a long night.
He's getting his.
Yeah, LeBron James, I don't see nothing stopping him.
I like the fact that they have – I like Draymond. There is no stopping LeBron. Let's start there. but there is making his job harder.
And Draymond's going to do it. Draymond's going to make it harder.
And so is Iguodala's going to make it harder.
Clay's going to make it harder.
Clay making and Harrison Barnes. Yeah. So they have bodies to throw at him.
They do.
So I don't think there's a team in the NBA more equipped to stop LeBron in terms of they literally have three guys. I think that Draymond, you start with Draymond. Iguodala can play. If he's just asked to play defense, he's a very good defensive player, and he's strong. Is he as big as LeBron? No, but he is very strong, and he can move his feet with him. And then you have a Harrison Barnes. Nobody can guard him for 48 minutes, but if you got three different guys who can guard him for 15-minute stretches, I don't think there's a team more equipped to guard LeBron than
two unsung heroes that I'm going to call out in this series, and they're for Golden State. One guy played really well last series. He didn't get a lot of love. Andrew Bogut, I think, is going to be a key factor. And I think that Golden State getting back the other big body in spades, another big body to throw in there in the mix that can score offensively, could be the tilting point. Because when I watched Bogut against Dwight Howard.
And the other one.
Festus Ezeli?
Yes. I was going to not Festa? Say that, but yes.
Yep.
Ezeli.
I think with the attention that LeBron draws, that is in a series like this, any series that is good for – because people look at, okay, Kyrie not there, and I think Love could help him too with hitting shots. But with a guy like Kyrie, a guy who needs the ball in his hands, with him not being there, it's not as bad as you would think, because LeBron has always excelled when he's had shooters all around him. So while he drives and he draws attention, he kicks out to those shooters.
But my thing is, what happens when LeBron isn't on the floor? Because he can't possibly play 48 minutes for all seven games.
Right, so and that's when Jay, I mean, even when LeBron's been on the floor and he's been off, you got a guy like JR who comes out of nowhere, you know, he hits four or five threes in a row.
But see,
you can't bank on that, though.
Is that something you're going to, are you going to Bank of America and cash in that check?
I'm not hanging my hand on that for four times in the seven game series.
So that's why I think the Kyrie has missed is that when LeBron sits down, there is a point in time in the game where Kyrie gets the opportunity to take over games and work his wizardry. But if he's at 60% and we don't get that and we got to get Dellavedova, first of all, I'm putting in who's the guy who hasn't played all series? I need one guy from Golden State. I need you to do a speeding torpedo. Boom. He's got to go out for the series. Because if he's checking Steph Curry, I guarantee you, listen to me, there will be a land on a foot in this series from Dellavedova and Steph Curry.
No question.
I am betting it. I'm betting my house on it.
Trevor Reeves already flipped over Steph Curry and need Clay in his ear.
Yeah, nice kick to the head.
Yeah, I mean that's one of the moves I saw you use on Mortal Kombat the other day. But I'm just with that being said, like I said, if we don't get a Kyrie Irving to help out to take the load off, I don't know how competitive, man, this could be, man. I'm thinking about it. I'm gonna give LeBron James a game because I believe in his talent.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, and then the way Oracle goes.
Yep.
Oracle is like Cameron Indoor and that bad boy. That baby gets, you watch a game and it'll be a 2-point game and then they just get to screaming for no reason. The wave will go down and then they're up 15 and that's that match. And Houston had the firepower to battle back. Houston had, you know, a couple guys that could, even though Corey Brewer, he scores the 20-point games and I understand how he does it, but he does. There are multiple guys that could get a number out there. Yeah. I don't see that in Cleveland.
Yeah,
I see. I'm with you in that. I think you can't sweep LeBron. Although it's been done, LeBron's good enough to get you one game, and that's all I see happening.
I see one game.
I see Golden State 5-6 tops. And I think that they run them. I think that what's going to hurt Cleveland is this is where, while they had the very easy road to the finals, I think this is going to be the first time they ever have to face anybody even close to that talented. And I'm like, yeah, this is a lot different than playing the Celtics. This is definitely not the Hawks. You know what I mean? And they haven't played anybody to that caliber, yet. And Golden State right now is playing exceptional team basketball. I mean, they're playing as good as anybody I've really ever seen play, because while Steph Curry is on a whole nother level, that last game, Steph Curry played below average, very below average, and it was just people just everywhere stepping up, you know, just stepping up, and they just have so much fire. Yeah. If Sean Livingston comes out the blue and gives you 17 points, and if you're going to be getting 17 points from Sean Livingston, forget about it. You know, if Iguodala is going to give you 16 points, forget about it. If Harrison Barnes is giving you 20 points, you don't stand a chance. You just don't, because Steph Curry, while he might have one bad game, he certainly ain't gonna have four. And Klay Thompson's gonna be in there one of those games. They're so deep and so loaded.
Steph not gonna have Jason Terry checking him this time around.
He's gonna have
Iman Shumpert on him. And it's not gonna be as easy.
It's not gonna be as easy, but he's.
And they hit tough shots, man. That's the thing that scares me about Golden State. So they've been consistent with it. The shots they hit are just tough shots, and man, Clay.
Like Kobe said, you know, what do you do when you're taking shots the defense wants you to take, but those are shots that you're comfortable taking?
Right. True.
And the thing was, while you say a guy like Iman Shumpert, and if he's out there. Like the same factor with Tony Allen. If he's out there with the purpose of stopping somebody, that's good. That's one less offensive body that you have down the floor. LeBron's not shooting the ball very well right now. Matter of fact, he's shooting the ball terrible right now.
I'm about to say,
he's not shooting the ball well. You throw Shumpert out there, he's not shooting the ball well. And if you got guys out there for these purposes, on the other end, if I'm Golden State, who's already playing very good defense, and they're saying, Shumpert, you can shoot. LeBron, you can shoot. And now Tristan Thompson, you certainly can.
Please shoot.
You know, and you start looking at it and you say, wow, they're pretty much, which now gives you the opportunity to make J.R. Smith's life even harder. You know what I mean? Because I'm not guarding Tristan Thompson. I'm not guarding Iman Shumpert. And I'm letting LeBron have all the open jumpers that he wants.
I don't like the cross matches Cleveland's way. I don't mind the cross matches Golden State's way. I think that. With if Tristan Thompson gets matched up on Draymond Green, I don't like that. I don't like it one bit. But if Draymond Green gets cross matched on Tristan, I don't have a problem with that.
And let's not forget that Golden State has the power to even bring in a David Lee who hasn't been used yet and who can play the stretch four and bring Tristan Thompson away from that basket.
I mean,
and make him work. They could bring David Lee out of the hiding closet that they've had him in.
They're going to blow about a quarter inch of dust off the old buddy.
Right, and he can pull 12 points out. And you get 12 points from a guy that hasn't been playing all series.
I'm just going to say this,
and it's just like, wow, that's hard to do.
I think Golden State's going to have to really focus on rebounding this series.
Absolutely.
Because Thompson is all over them boards.
Yeah, but dude, I'm watching him rebound. I'm watching Tristan rebound. If the referees were really on their job, man, half of that stuff are off-ball fouls. I mean, he is pulling guys. And people are on there talking about energy. And I'm like, dude, that ain't energy right there. That's just flat-out foul. that is just a foul.
While he's eating glass, so is Draymond Green is eating glass right now.
And so is Bogey.
So is LeBron. LeBron's getting you 10, over 10 rebounds.
Yeah, listen.
What did A1, before the day is over, can you give us Draymond Green's rebounding numbers for that last series?
Listen. By that time, we'll
have it for you for the next show. But go ahead.
We'll be doing the Christmas show. I mean, I don't see it. And one thing that I always go with, man, is usually when Vegas gives you, you know, when Vegas gives you 60-40, okay, all right, I can see if Cleveland with a 40. When Vegas comes to you and they go 75-25 or 80-20. They know.
Is that what it is?
The odds are like. I mean, it's like they Golden State has like a 78% chance of winning.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, like 77, 78.
Yeah, but I also thought, and a lot of people thought that when they got to the finals in Miami with the Thunder, that the Thunder was going to be too much for Miami. And that didn't end up happening.
Yeah, but there was a couple guys on the Thunder that I knew good and damn
you put
well.
A lot of stock in that.
I thought Thunder winning
right and
the Spurs. I'm like. The Thunder got KD and Russell and Harden and Ibaka. I'm like, they're going to beat Miami.
First of all, that ain't the Ibaka that we know. That definitely ain't the Russell that has arrived since KD left.
I'm talking about at that time, I thought.
Okay.
What was
the rebound? They were the
favorites. 14.4.
14 from the small forward.
Draymond's not the small forward. He's a power
plays
forward.
3-4. That's fine. He can play
power forward the whole game.
Okay, fine.
Oh no! My bad. 12.
See 12.2. Yeah, 12. We have 14 and 12. This guy.
14 and 12.
Yes.
That's good numbers.
That's good numbers.
That's good numbers, and that's against Dwight Howard. That's against one of the best rebounders in the game. You know, so he.
Smith,
yeah. They're all in the quarter together, and he's out there getting. He's pulling out. I think I'm guessing that he out rebounded Dwight Howard and Josh Smith probably with those numbers.
Probably.
Dwight
had 14.
Okay, so
he got rebounded Josh Smith though.
Yeah, so I mean that's
DJ, what do you got it?
You
give you a series number.
Series number, I kind of think it's going to go 7, man.
Sheesh.
And what happens in next game 7 at Oracle?
I'm gonna give it to Golden State.
So 7 games. So 7.
Like I said, I want Golden State to win this series. So if you guys are right about your prediction, I would be okay with that. But
I wanted to go 7 just because after this,
boy.
Oh, absolutely.
We're in some dark hours, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I mean, every basketball fan wants to see 7 games.
We're in a dark time.
There's no better word in sports than game 7. So definitely.
Team for the guys who hasn't been there.
So that's what I'm saying. Do you put a lot of stock in that? Do you put a whole lot into the fact that none of them have been there? You don't think that matters? You think Steph Curry, whether he's been in the NBA Finals or not?
Steve Kerr got 5-6 championship rings to roll out on that floor. Tell him, look.
He's not out there.
No, he isn't. I'm just being facetious when I say so.
Yeah. I mean, they have one guy. Kyrie Irving's never been there. I mean, J.R. Smith. No, I mean, J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert never even sniffed anything close to this, or Kyrie Irving for that matter either,
or Timothy Mozgov.
Yeah, they, I mean, they're not exactly throwing out
a guy who's going to his fifth straight.
Yeah, one guy.
Yeah, and that one guy.
Oh, no, he can exude the confidence.
Yeah, he can. He before the game, he know what to say to them. He knows. You know what it's going to take.
He says Dellavedova. Remember that ankle move? Don't forget it. You're going to need it.
You know, he's been the underdog.
You ever seen? You see the Karate Kid? Won. You seen him when he told him sweep the leg? That's all LeBron will look over at him. Go sweep the
when
leg.
Has he, when hasn't he been the underdog in his finals? He was the underdog in both finals he won.
Well, no, not
against
last year.
Spurs and against
Yeah. Well, look, and guess what? And guess what? He should have lost
He should have lost the two against the Spurs. You're right.
And he lost what?
He went the underdog. And
he wasn't he wasn't the underdog in that Mavericks team. That's for sure. That they lost to.
No, they wasn't underdog against the Mavericks.
It was random right up at the gym.
Yeah.
They surely weren't the underdog then.
And that proves my point is like, you know, the underdog, you just don't know.
Yeah, but when it
looks like it can go one way, it can go another.
You're absolutely right. Well, we're just one Dellavedova move away from something.
Right.
I'm just going to keep saying it.
Who's coming out party?
Nobody. I don't think.
I think these guys are already out. Maybe.
Party. Yeah, yeah.
Freak
Clay Thompson could come out. Draymond Green could come out.
We mean this.
Clay's a maxed out all star.
Freak flags are flying. Everyone is out in this series. Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, unless you're telling me James Jones is going to make an appearance, everyone is out, baby. Listen to me, honey.
It is
going down. You hear me?
Yeah. Hey, what about Andrew Bogut? Possible.
What'd you say?
Andrew Bogut. Maybe.
You know what you get from him.
I mean, you're going to get he's big. If he gives you 10 and 10, I mean, I guess it's a coming out party, but.
Yeah, I mean, unless he was to go.
You know what?
10 points, 18 rebounds.
Maybe Leandro Barbosa, because you just put him in the game because Dellavedova's in the game. Whenever
you still know what he does.
As there's no
you
coming out party.
You know what he does. He comes
you
in.
You know what I think is going to happen? I think the MVP. It's going to be MVP ish.
The only person who I feel like can come out, and he has been a little bit, is Harrison Barnes.
But what
the Black Falcon
could
and I like
could
him.
Draymond Green do what Kawhi Leonard did last year?
No,
be an MVP?
You know. No.
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 No. No. No.
No. No. I think and no.
Nah. Yeah. What I'm gonna say
is the way they play is different. In San Antonio, it's kind of equal opportunity offense.
Right.
You know they run their system with Golden State. Steph and Klay is gonna
get their shots.
Going to get their shots. And Draymond, like I say, Draymond gets the most open pick and pops in the history of basketball. He pops wide open. And sometimes he makes the shot, sometimes he drives, and I think he can put up some points, but it's going to be about them guard.
How about this? Last series, Draymond Green shot 43 from the floor and 20 from three.
Yeah.
If he improves upon those numbers, it could be a long day down at the rodeo. That's all I'm going to say.
No, he said he didn't play. I mean, but he played exceptional defense.
If he shoots,
ate a lot of glass. Like, yeah, he got a lot of rebounds.
Listen, if he shoots anything better than that, long day at the rodeo.
Yeah, he got to shoot better than that.
With open looks, for God's sakes.
Openest looks ever.
All right, A1, what was your prediction? Who you did you say?
I don't know really. It's
you got to do more research.
Yeah. It's all about Kyrie Irving. Like
the 10 days Kyrie, off. 10 days off wasn't enough.
If Kyrie is at 85%. I think Cavaliers have a good chance to win if Kyrie's healthy.
I just feel like it's really scary with so many people.
Why you keep saying if Kyrie? We know he's not healthy. They just announced.
Well, if he's not.
He hasn't played.
If he's not healthy.
Then the whole last series, and they had another
week and a half off. He had time to.
Okay.
To
all right. So when he's running around on that tiptoe like my man was in the Karate Kid when he had to get back on that mat and he was on that tiptoe before that crane kick. I don't want to hear your nonsense, okay? When he had to run around like Daniel Russo, he looks like Daniel Russo out there. Don't come complain. I want no excuses.
So who's your pick in what game?
Cavaliers in seven.
Cavs in seven?
Yeah.
So we got one Cavs.
Yeah.
What do you got, MG?
I say five, six tops.
I'm going five. Whenever Vegas goes this heavy with the betting wages, they want you to bet on the Cavs. They're going, please. You Cavaliers guys, because that money line is going
to
be crazy.
I think you do have to factor in the different format, the 2-3-2 format. So in order for them to sweep them.
They're doing that in the finals?
Yeah. So you got to win two in Oracle.
I don't like that. Yeah, why they do that? Yeah.
They've just done to make it, sure that you
that's
don't,
from the,
you don't get game seven.
They've been doing that ever since the Lakers, the Shaq and Kobe joints.
But I thought they ever switched since, it. I thought
mm-mm. Maybe they did. Actually, maybe they did. Like last year, I felt like
they switched it back.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. I thought they switched.
Yeah, it's back to 2-3-2, and that's why. Furthermore, I say,
I don't like that format at all.
From my understanding, it's for the travel purposes, because it's the first time that you are actually going east west. You know, like if you're doing a New York versus LA series, and you don't want to just be flying across the country, so you do all three of these games on this coast and do the rest. You can't just have teams flying across the country.
They're not going through
they're flying through Tibet.
Security. They get on the plane, they're laying on couches and watching movies.
I don't think it's so much about the players as it is everybody else. It's not just the players. There's the TNT staff, whatever. There's hundreds of people who are.
A couple 70-year-old guys that can't get fired up the next day.
Dick Pavetta looked like that might be a bit much on the body to be going from. He is like 90.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, that's my understanding that it was more about the.
I just feel like that gives the away team an advantage.
You mean the home team? All you have to do is win two, you win two at home, you win one of those three away, and then I have two back at home.
The away team, you win one.
That's right. See, that's what I'm looking at.
You get three at home.
Yeah,
you get
three in a row at home.
That's what I think. I feel like if I'm the,
I like that
if
format.
I'm the team with the three in a row. I like the fact that as long as we get one of these first two games, we never have to come back here.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
We get one of these first.
Miami
two games.
Played Oklahoma City. That's what they got, one of them in Oklahoma, and just went home and won all three.
Yeah. We'll see.
All right.
Anything else anybody want to say before we get out of here?
Nope. Training camp, OTAs. Chicago Bears, stay healthy.
Anything you want to say? So we'll get one more show in next week before by then we'll have had two games because they play tomorrow and then they play a game on Sunday.
Well, I want to ask you guys this since you guys are all picking Golden State.
Since we all know
put your coaching caps on and tell us what Cleveland has to do to win that series. What can they do to win that series?
Didn't I just tell you? Dellavedova, sweep the leg.
I think Golden State is too deep. I don't think this game is going to be won with the LeBron Steph Curry matchup or the Klay Thompson JR matchup. I think this game is won by the Harrison Barnes and Iguodala going against.
But Cleveland last series had almost seven players average double digits in that series against.
Yeah,
I mean, granted,
the Hawks.
Yeah, but I mean,
well, this is the not score. The I mean, somebody's got to score when we're up 30. Somebody's got to get 10 points. The average margin of victory is 20 something points.
Yeah, that's true.
I just think what Cleveland got to. We got to do is cause turnovers and make shots because Golden State, you know, they can get a little.
They're going to turn the ball over there.
A little bit. Golden State gets some turnovers. You get Bron in transition and,
but
you know,
unlike
JR hitting some shots.
But see, DJ,
it can get ugly.
Here's something I say is in the Atlanta series, we saw Atlanta turn the ball over and Cleveland get out to leads, and Atlanta still have some ability to creep back in, you know, in the third quarter. They were still crying. You give that same creep back opportunity with Golden State, it's a different kind of wave that's coming in. They're not going to storm back it within eight. They're going to look at you at eight, drop a gear, and be up 15 in no time.
Right. See, my heart kind of
two. It is 2-2.
Right. I thought they changed it.
Okay. Yeah, good. Okay.
My heart kind of. I want to say Golden State and it's going to be 4-2, but just I think it's just kind of. You know, LeBron just got something with him, man. That kid has grown a lot, man.
And, yeah, he has something. Yeah, he does.
Mm-hmm. What he has with him is he plays in the Eastern Conference.
No, I think it's something else, they'll start testing for next year. That's another
To answer your question, A1, though, I think
2-1 in Chicago.
I think it's don't touch my – no, don't touch that oil. No.
I think a key to, in fact, to answer your question, what would I be preaching if I'm a Cleveland coach is you got to take that crowd out of it when you're in Oracle early. Like, you – if –
What do you mean? What, sleeping gas?
Something. But you can't let them. It's when, that's when it's the same way like you said in Cameron Indoor. When they get that comfortable in there, it's impossible.
Dude, when the crowd is screaming,
and then once Steph Curry starts shooting shots where he's once he gets in that comfort zone and it starts raining, and then Klay hits two in a row.
Okay, let me tell you something I've seen before. I've seen
Harrison.
I've seen LeBron teams play against a team where somebody's on fire, and what do? They put LeBron on that dude and completely shuts him down. You think they can put LeBron on what's his name? And
Steph Curry?
On Steph Curry?
I think I could. And that's what you're saying could 100% happen. Listen, and then that's when Klay Thompson goes off.
I've seen LeBron on Steph Curry, and the result was the same. Whole lot of dribbling, a little bit of movement.
I think Steph's too quick. I don't know if you can – I don't think you can put LeBron on Steph. I mean, Steph, you just screens. Like I say, Steph is quick.
But he's crafty.
I think what I would try to do is just.
But I mean, we've seen LeBron guard like Derrick Rose. We've seen him guard Rondo.
It's different.
They're more like they want to try to get in the guys and overpower the smaller point guard. Steph not overpowering you at all. He's using all quickness. All he needs is a little bit of space, and I don't think. I mean, LeBron wants to get up on you and use his power on you, and that might work against him. You know, against Steph. Well, what I would do is. I would trap them screens with Steph, and Draymond Green would have to make a decision for me. He gonna catch the ball on a pop, and he gonna shoot it or try to make him drive and turn it over, do something wild. But I'm gonna try to take Steph out of it.
And the thing is, I don't think what you said, A1. I can see that happening. I agree with these guys that Garden shutting down Steph Curry and shutting down Derrick Rose are two completely different things because Derrick Rose. Is trying to attack the basket, and LeBron can cut that off. But I would not be if they put LeBron on him, and he did, you know, get as close to shutting him down as you can, get him maybe at the 15-20 point range, I wouldn't be surprised by that. But the point is, at that point, I still think Klay Thompson is good enough. I still think the rest of the dominoes still can get the job done. That I don't think that Golden State, and now likewise, if Draymond Green or Eagle or any of those guys can do the same thing to LeBron, slow him down, I don't think that he has somebody else who can pick up the rest of the pieces.
Nah, because I think if they try that, then whatever point guard's in the game, Harrison Barnes or Klay Thompson will post them up.
Yeah, and that's and now I go back to saying, I don't mind the cross matchups. But when Cleveland gets cross matched, it's a problem.
And I think the second that you put LeBron on Steph Curry, it becomes problems for you defensively all the way around the whole shift. Because somewhere, you're getting way too many mismatches.
I've seen that. I've seen that happen where they've tried to do that to Steph, and they go right in the post to Harrison Barnes, and he scores.
Or Draymond. Or
Klay.
Or Klay, yeah. I agree. I'm TJ. I think you hit the nail on the head. The cross matchups.
I don't like
just aren't good. Been a great show. Lots to talk about, and we probably got one more left before it gets ugly.
Before the dark hour. San Andreas, as we know, the pain, the suffering.
Still just don't like everybody going against the king like that, man.
First of all, let me just say this, okay? He is the greatest basketball player on earth right now. But you are talking to someone who witnessed the greatest. So I have a tough time just crowning his ass, as Denny Green would say.
You know what they thought they were.
Yeah, I have a tough time with it, brother. So
I know. It took me a lot to get to that point. I feel like I can call him that right
listen,
now.
Listen, man. Until
I said I never call that man the king, man. I got to call him the king.
I can't. I cannot.
It took me a lot to get to that.
I can't crown you by beating. Like we talked about last night, I'm not impressed with the Celtics. I'm not impressed with the Bulls. I'm not impressed with the Hawks. I'm just not impressed with the road to the finals.
If he ain't just get it this year. I crowned him 2 years ago.
But it's the same teams he played then. It's the teams. The teams didn't change. No matter every year he's been there, I guarantee you he's played one, if not two series
you
against
a team me?
That was less than 500.
Beat San Antonio when you had a chance to beat him last year. When, that would have impressed me.
Yeah, but he beat him before when you got Wade out there.
Thank you for Ray Allen.
Kyrie being hurt.
So listen, you're saying with Wade being hurt, this is where we are right now.
These teams, man, I got to give that man his credit, man. 27, 10, and 8.
Listen, he is a stat stuffer. I give him a lot of credit. He's improved his game. There are still when I look at that resume. There are places on that resume that you do not want. There are a couple DUIs on there. You don't want me going there. So
I mean, he's closing out games.
August 13th.
He's closing out games. The Chicago Boston game, walk-off shots. I mean.
2012, Boston.
Now, what if he goes out there and just gets run out the gym by a Western Conference team, which would be the third time that that's happened to him, at which point you would just say, so what's the difference between if he had played this team in the first round, if he was in the Western Conference and he had to face the team in the first round, versus, I'm not ready to anoint the fact that you get your first challenge and you lost it, and your challenge just happened to be at the NBA Finals.
And because the thing is, he's being the underdog, like I say, every time except against Dallas. He's the underdog now against a team that has no championship experience. And he's still the underdog.
Yes, as he should be, because his team is.
And right, and he's there.
Like, what would LeBron's legacy? How many legacies?
But that wasn't the same team. The team that he has here is not the team that he made it through the season with. Now,
no.
Let's not do that.
And that's why I'm giving him so much credit, because he still got there with them guys. And I really think they're a good team. When they're healthy, they put together.
They're good.
They put together.
They're good.
A good roster.
But now, if Kevin Love leaves next year,
let me ask you this: if you put the Cleveland Cavaliers, this Cleveland Cavaliers in the Western Conference, do they win three rounds in the Western Conference?
I don't know. I don't know. The Western Conference is tough, man. I don't think so.
Do they
so.
Beat a Spurs?
But then, yeah, then a great Memphis, record against the Western Conference then, this year, though.
That regular season stuff is ridiculous. That regular season means nothing. So do the Hawks.
So if he'd have went like 0-15 against the West, you'd be saying.
No, I wouldn't. I don't. I put no stock into that. What was the Hawks' record this year against the Western Conference? Phenomenal.
New Year's Eve will have that.
That's regular season basketball, especially when you do those type of stats, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. When you pull those stats up, and, this team was 4-0, and you'd be like, Steph Curry played none of those three games, another one was back, you know what I mean? Like, there's just so many facts. Regular season basketball is so different than playoff basketball. So different.
I agree.
When I crown LeBron, it's more than just what he does on the court, too. It's just everything overall.
I'll say this, man.
Hats off to him.
He's made players better.
Hats off to him.
He's made players better. I've seen his growth. But that don't take away from the quitting that I witnessed. Rolling over on your team that I witnessed. That will never. That's something.
What you mean
when he quit in Boston? When he quit on the Cavaliers and he openly quit.
We've seen Kobe quit on teams before, though.
Well, I don't listen.
I don't remember him just quitting.
He quit in the Phoenix series. Oh, Kobe did.
Kobe did that just to prove a point.
And so did LeBron against
talking
and LeBron
trash.
And the Celtics.
He's shooting too much and all that. So Kobe's like, okay, I got a trick for y'all.
So, yeah. but see, that
I don't even really start that as quitting. I'm with Slim on that one. He was out there. He was just passing the ball to people, and he's like, yo, I want you guys to see how bad these guys suck.
LeBron quit against.
When we go out and we lose, I want you to realize that we
lost. Cleveland, the boss.
Luke Walton, man. Wind it up, buddy. Show him what you got, Luke. Kwame, this one's coming to you, buddy. And you start. Luke Walton, Kwame, Smush. Show him what you got, Smush.
First of all, Smush had a great part.
It was almost like you're rubbing that. I look at that as like rubbing it in the GM's face. Like, how do you want me to win with these? You know, show me this is what you surround me with, and I want to show you that.
In the Dallas series?
Definitely quit in that Celtics series.
In the Dallas series? He quit.
Who, LeBron?
Yeah.
Nah,
Dirk was handing him his lunch every single week.
Listen,
I can't say that.
Dirk
was just too much.
What I saw from LeBron in that series is as the games went on, he saw the tidal wave of Dallas and what Dirk was doing. The shots went from 25 to 14 to 13, right.
And Jason Terry went ham at him.
Yeah,
Jason Terry went straight at him.
And that's not. And that's where I guess I'm spoiled because I came from an era where. Dudes just didn't do that. And we're not going to get into that right now because we're going to just leave it at that. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to say my little piece. Y'all take it. Okay. Put it in your envelope. Open it up later. Take a sniff.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you for your email, RP. Guys, make sure you download the podcast on iTunes, the Barbershop Player's Voice, the app, the Android store. And make sure you come back and check out next week's show.
That's not a record when he goes. What is that? The Android store? Because
he does it every week.
He does that 3 weeks straight. I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm sure the people that listen are going, are they taping that? Because he does it every time the exact same way. So I just want the fans to know that. He's actually like live doing that at the same moment every time the same way. And he looks at AP as if AP has an answer. And then he answers it. It's really entertaining.
What's his name? A1.
I mean A1. Sorry about that.
Useless. AP has a function.
Yeah, he does.
Okay. But yes, thank you. And make sure you check us out next week. Everybody enjoy your NBA finals. See you next week, guys.
We're out.